If you didn't know it, Corey Welch is with us today. He's back up in the sound booth. It's good to have you with us, Corey. Been a tough 2 weeks, right? Yeah, that's good that you're here with us today. Reason I said Veterans Day, I was looking to Bulletin Saw America the Beauty, and I always think about Veterans Day or a special day we sing about our country. So, as we look at our scriptures today, we're going to be talking about the humility of Jesus Christ, this being Communion Day. I keep our focus on the importance of why Jesus came into this world to die for the sins of the world. He made it very personal to each one of us as we come to Him with our sins, and He has forgiven us. And remember where we should be in our identity with Him as far as when it comes to humility. He looks at the heart, the humbleness of the heart, and we need to keep that in mind. And the bulletin shows, and your outline shows, beginning with verse 5. I'm going to begin with verse 1 first, and then we'll look on the monitor up there, beginning with verse 5. But to really get the focus and the picture of what Paul is talking about here in Philippians chapter 2, he's saying, be like Christ, imitate Him. Actually, in Ephesians, he says that as well. But looking with me in your Bibles, beginning with verse 1, Philippians chapter 2, therefore, if there be any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in the Spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of the mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. And then it brings us to verse 5. Where Paul says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled, there you go, humility, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above all. All name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, when you look at humility, I think of Mark chapter 10, beginning around verse 10 through 16, where Jesus said, do not hinder the little children to come to me. Such is the kingdom of God. So he was saying, you got to be humble, just like a child, to come to me. And such is the kingdom of God. And so, by this one symbolic act, he teaches us to accept the kingdom of God with humility and trust of children, of a child. Now, Jesus not only, he taught humility, but he lived it out. He lived it. He lived it before the disciples. He lived it out on this earth. Of course, the 3.5 years of ministry, he went about doing good, showing compassion. So he lived out that humility that Paul is talking about here in this text. See, his journey to the cross was the most selfless, self-giving love act that's ever been performed in this world. You think about that. He died for the whole world. He died for you and me. It's something that we would probably not even give thoughts about. Dying for the whole world, let alone, you know, someone close to us. So he is the only begotten Son of God who gave himself as a full final sacrifice for the sins of, I would say, not only his people, but all people of the world. So he suffered from the wrath of God against sin in his own holy person. You think about that. His own holy person with the ultimate indignity of separation from God the Father. When he was on the cross, you know, he cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Because of sin, the Father had to turn his back upon his only begotten Son. That's why it's so important when Jesus said, "When you do this, take the communion, the service of the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of me." So let's look at how Jesus taught humility, not only taught that, but how he lived it out. And he did it. He is the perfect example of humility as we look here in verse 6. In teaching the Philippians the need of humility, the Apostle Paul, he takes Jesus himself as his model, his role model. We need a role model in this world. Jesus is the ultimate role model, and we have other people that I guess we look up into this world as role models or mentors and so forth, but there's no one like Christ Jesus when it comes to humility, giving of himself. See, elsewhere, Paul urges us to be imitators of Christ, 1 Corinthians 4:16. And of course, we must seek to be like Christ, be the best Christians because they are the most like Christ. We are supposed to be like him, right? That's why Paul says be imitators of Christ. Imitate Christ because he is a perfect example. So most importantly, we must follow the example of Jesus. That's what Paul is saying here. We know that inside and out. Do we practice that? Do we actually do that on a regular basis? Maybe when we mess up or do something we know we shouldn't. Uh-oh. Well, I'm not imitating Christ in this particular action or in this particular moment of my life. The Holy Spirit often reminds us when we do that. So after urging against self-interest, Paul, here in verse 4, he says, have this attitude of yourself. In verse 5, see, Paul goes on to describe the wonderful emptying of Jesus. He did that for us. So in heaven, Jesus, God's only begotten Son, could enjoy all the benefits of the equality of God. He did that, according to Philippians in verse 6. However, there came a juncture in the council of the eternity when God the Father, looking at the world situation, all the spoiled things that happened in the world by sin, and indeed, need of a Redeemer, which is Jesus Christ, to put things right between God and man, reconciled, which we often see it as reconciliation. God reconciled us before God through Jesus Christ. And he asked, whom shall I send? Remember that statement in Isaiah chapter 6 where God was talking to Isaiah, and Isaiah, he gave him the plan and what was going on within the world and who is going to speak and who's going to teach the people who are going astray in this world today. And Isaiah, thinking about, well, who is it going to be? And when, since God is looking at me and talking directly to me, why not me? Here I am, God, send me. Jesus emptied himself and freely gave up his equality of living in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, to come to this earth, knowing that he was going to die for the sins of the world. Jesus uttered his historical answer, as I was saying, as Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. So, in time, Jesus would appear on the stage of history, foreseen by King David. He uttered the words, lo, I come. In the roll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will. Oh, my God, your law is within my heart. The words spoken by David. See, Jesus taught his disciples, and he teaches us to do what? How to pray. How? I tell you, it is very important to learn and know how to pray. To pray the right way. To pray the right prayer. I mean, not looking for the right words, but praying from the heart, knowing how to approach God with humility. Because when Jesus prayed, and the disciples heard it, and they saw the content of his prayer before the Heavenly Father, that's why the disciples say, Lord, teach us how to pray like this. And Jesus, in a sense, said, you've got to have your heart right. It's got to be in the right place. And the humility that we have, and he shows us, teaches us how to do that. And he says, not my will, but your will be done. See, he carried that attitude to the Garden of Gethsemane and the cross of Calvary, praying, not my will, but your will be done. So we look at the perfect example of Jesus when it comes to humility in verse 6. And now let's look at the obedience that Christ took to the cross in verse 8. See, Jesus' obedience reached far beyond of keeping the commandments to the ultimate identity of becoming what the Bible says, becoming sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know, the Bible says if we confess our sin before God, he is righteous and willing to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And here, Jesus is being born and living a good life, not enough to secure salvation for mankind, but a price had to be paid. And that price was a penalty of sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The wages of sin, the wages that we accumulated against God, Jesus had to die. He paid that price for all of us. See, in Jesus, God was paying that price. He gave his only begotten Son, as John 3:16 tells us, to die for all of our sins. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, only Jesus could do it, because only he is untarnished by sin. So, had Jesus had to go all the way to the cross, according to Philippians 2:8, this was the ultimate dignity of Christ. See, the Roman crucifixion was reserved for the lowest of people. The lowest. Those who were actually classified as slaves. In fact, when we are told that Jesus became a servant in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7 here, the Greek word used for this is slave. When Jesus died, all of his sins for all the people were laid upon him. He became sin for us, but was never a sinner like us. He never sinned. He was perfect in all ways. Therefore, he died for our sins. Now, when Jesus was in heaven and the Father looked at him and said, "You're the perfect sacrifice, son." And Jesus accepted it. The sacrifice accepted by Jesus Christ. Thankfully, the death of Jesus was not the end. Death could not hold him, and the tomb could not expel him, as surely as a whale had to be, Jonah had to be expelled from the whale. Whale couldn't hold him because God was in control of that as well. So on the third day, he rose again, risen, triumphant from the grave. Now, looking at his resurrection, by his resurrection, we can be sure that God has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and that he will also accept us if we put our trust in Jesus Christ. There's so many that has not met that place in their life where they have come to Jesus Christ, accepting him as their personal Savior. Oh, what a shame for anyone to come into this world and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, reject it, and be separated from God from ever and ever and ever. The love and the compassion of Jesus Christ willing to come into this world. You know, that's why we as Christians, we honor Jesus Christ when we come to the table and take the cup and take the bread to honor him and to say, thank you. Thank you for this, the price that you paid. See, death could not hold him. And for us, death has lost its sting. The wages of sin is death, spiritual and eternal death, which is the lot of us, is without Christ. So the worst death of all is eternal separation from God. That's the worst death that anyone in this world can ever experience. Death is bad enough, but not without Christ. But in absent of Christ in a person's life, it's a worse death than anyone, the separation of God, can ever experience. This we need not suffer because he has paid the debt of sin, suffering all hell in his holy person. See, we are being offered the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. You know, this message or a message on Jesus Christ ought to be preached often because we never know whoever's going to come in this door not knowing Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and leave here the same condition that they left. And there's a lot of distractions in this world. There's a lot of distractions can enter in our minds while we're sitting here, and we miss the whole content and importance of this message because we're distracted with other things. But we miss the message of Jesus Christ and the saving grace. We missed it all. We have missed it all. See, Jesus rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, of the Almighty. And from there, he returned to be the judge and will be the judge, according to Philippians 2:11, which says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those who have denied, rejected, one of these days will confess when we stand. And you've all often heard me say this. As we stand before God, Jesus Christ being our judge one of these days, and he looks at us, we got to own up any unconfessed sin, because we know he's going to be right. We're going to be wrong. And with humility, we have to face up and say, Lord, you were right. I've wasted many, many years not serving you, not trusting you, not receiving you. And then it's too late. But now is a perfect time. Today is the day of salvation, according to the Word of God. See, verse 5 says, going back to verse 5, let this mind be in you. Paul says, you know, Paul, most of his writing of his epistles, he was in prison, in a dungeon, deep, smelly, stinking, moldy prison. But his mind was on Christ. That's why he says, let your mind, where my mind is on Christ. Let this mind be in you. Pointing to Jesus. Just as the Holy Spirit is always pointing to the cross where Jesus died for our sins. So, the reason for Jesus' death was not primarily to set a good example. It was to pay the price of sin for you and me. Yet, it is, incidentally, the best example of humility ever has displayed by Jesus Christ to mankind. Because the Bible says he loved us and he gave himself for us in Galatians chapter 2:20. Which is the scripture of the week. So I hope you will read that scripture of the week this week. Memorize it, because it talks about everything that God did through Jesus Christ for us. He loved us and he gave himself for us. Now, in conclusion, so likewise, we should be loving and self-giving towards others. We need never to reenact what Jesus has done for us, the once and for all sacrifice, as Paul says. He died once and for all. There will never be another sacrifice. There need to be. Never needs to be, because Jesus did it once and for all. But we must be ready to do whatever God may require of us in his service. This coming up pretty soon, you'll have an opportunity to put down on a sheet. And maybe you already have done that, where you want to serve next year. Serve with humility. Serve one another as Christ has served us. And Jesus said, I didn't come in this world to be served, but to be a servant. And that should be our mindset, as in Christ Jesus, let this also be in us as well. So, Bible says he is exalted, and our labors of love for him will not be without their reward. The benefits of serving Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, are high, really high. because he's the ultimate king. And one of these days we'll bow down before him and say, Lord, you are the King of kings, Lord of lords. And we are your servants, faithful servants. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We just pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally as their Lord and Savior, what a perfect day, what a holy day to come before you to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Savior. And Lord, as Christians, we need to remember the sacrifice that you did pay. And when it comes to our serving you, realizing the opportunities that you have given every one of us to serve you here in church or in life or in our community, wherever you place us, what an opportunity it is to show humility, just as you did. As Paul says, let this mind be in you as it is in Christ Jesus. We just pray that through this invitation and through this service, as we take communion in a few minutes, it'll help us to remember, you know, Lord, you're worthy to be served. You're worthy to be our perfect example of life. Lord, we praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to be standing and singing Amazing Grace. This morning, if the Lord has spoken to you, and you know you need to make a decision or come down and even pray about it or come to this altar and you pray yourself, I encourage you to do that this morning. Before we take communion and so forth, the Bible says that we need to examine ourselves as well. So as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, prepare for the Lord's Supper, you come as we sing.